Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When the cup of iniquity is full, God pours out his wrath, as when invading armies looted Jerusalem and took the people into captivity. America may soon feel that same wrath. Today, lessons we must take from the fall of a nation long ago. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Now, Erwin Lutzer takes us to Jeremiah 33 to tell us what happens when God judges a nation.
When I began this series of messages, I warned you that these were not feel-good kind of messages. This is not the kind of message you might hear somewhere else about how wonderful you are and all the good things that God has invested in you. There might be a time for those messages, but this is not one of them. One day, somebody wrote me a letter and said that the elders in their church, before the Sunday morning service, pray and say, "Lord, help us to have fun today in the service." I would be disappointed if our elders prayed that way, because that might be appropriate before a picnic. This sermon is not going to be fun. As a matter of fact, I'm not preaching a sermon to you today as much as I am preaching my heart. Today I'm going to end up talking about the great United States of America, a country that I greatly love. Most of you, of course, were born into the United States. You became citizens at birth. I chose to become a citizen because I was born and raised in Canada and lived many years here as a Canadian citizen. I eventually decided to join y'all, and I'm very proud of it. I'm glad to be an American. Amen. But today we're going to look at the book of Jeremiah as we conclude the Jeremiah portion of this series. The series is going to continue on beyond that, but we conclude the Jeremiah series by giving you some history, telling you what happened, and then we're going to have 9 lessons for the United States of America. It's my heart to yours today. I'm going to preach with a somber tone because what I'm going to share is somber, but you need to hear it. And at the end, of course, I'm going to give you hope. We're not going to leave you here today hopeless, but we have some territory to encompass before we get there. To remind you of what Jeremiah is all about, a little bit of history. You remember, after the time of Solomon, the kingdoms are split. You have the northern kingdom, which was known as Israel. That's confusing to us because today we call the whole land Israel. The northern kingdom was Israel. The southern kingdom was known as Judah, with its capital in Jerusalem. The capital of the northern kingdom was Samaria. In 722 BC, the Assyrians come and they judge the northern kingdom, and they take about 20,000 people to Assyria, and that's called the 10 tribes. Some people say the lost 10 tribes. Some people say that the 10 tribes have been found. But that meant that the southern kingdom continued for over 130 years before Babylon came and took it away. You see, Assyria began to decline in power. Babylon began to increase in strength. And for 40 years or so, Jeremiah was warning the southern kingdom that if you don't repent, the same thing is going to happen to you as happened to the northern kingdom. Babylon this time, though, is going to come and carry you away, and you are headed for severe judgment. Repent! And that's what introduces us now to the book. He gives some warnings, and these are warnings that I'm going to give to you. I could turn to almost any passage in Jeremiah to give you these warnings, but I'm going to point out one, for example, was he's saying, all of you are deaf. You're not listening to the voice of God. For example, in chapter 7, and I don't expect you to keep up with me in all the passages, But when we get to chapter 52, we'll look at that together and then sharpen your pencil because we are going to get to the nine lessons. But this is what God says. And now, because you have done these things, declares the Lord, when I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen, and when I called to you, you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to this house that is called by my name, he means the temple, I am going to do to it as I did to Shiloh, namely, destroy it, and I will do it, because you're deaf. You see, and I preached about this in a previous message, there were false prophets that were telling the people exactly what they wanted to hear. Everything is going to be good. God's okay. You're okay. I'm okay. We're all okay. Jeremiah came along and said, you're not okay. God's okay. And you'd better repent. And the people didn't want to listen. They took Jeremiah and they threw him into a pit. They had a plot to kill him. And what harm did he do? He was saying things the people did not want to hear. We don't want to hear judgment. And so that's how they treated him. Maybe a little bit like killing the weatherman because you don't like the forecast. But we don't want to hear it. Now I have to talk about the United States early on, even before we get to the lessons. I'm speaking specifically about the issue of same-sex marriage, as you know, approved here in the great state of Illinois, along with other states. And if you aren't concerned about this, I don't think that you understand what the issues are. Now, I need to say that many of you who are listening here probably struggle with same-sex attraction. You know that you're welcome here. You know that everybody's welcome here. And so I speak to you today from my heart. The original bill, which I read very carefully, gave no protection to any church except if you were a pastor or a teacher. For example, if a secretary were to say that she is going to marry her same-sex partner, and you were to, as a result of that, ask her to leave the church, there would be an instant lawsuit because you have no right to do that. There was no protection for Christian bookstores, Christian institutions. The only thing is that the pastor and a few of the teachers would have been exempt from a lawsuit if they were asked to leave because of their connection to homosexuality and homosexual marriage. The implications are huge. Now, the more recent bill, I understand, tried to take care of some of those issues, but that's where this is going. But here's what I want to say. The city council of San Antonio was debating this ordinance. No person shall be appointed to a position if the city council finds that such a person has, prior to such proposed appointment, engaged in discrimination or demonstrated a bias by word or deed against any person, group, organization, color, race, sexual orientation, gender identity, etc. Now, what that means is this. That if you in any way speak in favor of traditional marriage and are opposed to same-sex marriage, you would not be able to serve in the city government. Now think of the implications. Somebody pointed out that this would mean that all businesses, the city would be barred from doing business with anyone who fails to espouse the politically correct view of same-sex marriage. One pastor says, this probably means that if you attend a church that opposes gay marriage, you could be disqualified from getting a city job. Wow. But here's the point I want to make. You know what hurts me most is not all the lawsuits that this is going to bring about, not even the destruction of the family to which it shall so greatly contribute, but the fact that from the White House all the way down, our country is celebrating something that God has condemned. That's what hurts me the most. And my point is simply this. People don't want to hear it. They say, if you speak something different than what we want to hear, you will be disqualified. Be quiet already. Just like ancient Judah, America does not want to hear the truth. And as a result of that, we've stopped our ears. Wasn't it George Orwell who said that in a day of universal deception, in a day of universal deception, speaking the truth is a revolutionary act. Well, I just think I committed a revolutionary act because the truth has to be spoken. So that is one indictment of Judah. You're not listening to God. You're not learning. You're not hearing. Second indictment that I refer to is God says, you've gone too far. Judgment is inevitable. I mean, do you understand why this message is burning in my soul? Do you know what God said in the next verse? And I'm actually in chapter 7 here. He says, as for you, Jeremiah, do not pray for this people. Lift up a cry or a prayer for them, and do not intercede with me, for I will not hear you. God says, judgment is coming. It's inevitable. You know what he says in chapter 15, verse 1? He says, though Moses and Samuel should plead before me, I will not change my mind. Judgment is coming. And what was the response of the people? Chapter 18, verse 12, the people said, it is vain, we will follow our own plans, and we will everyone act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. He says, no matter what you're saying, we're going to keep plunging in the direction we want to go. And I have to say it again, wow. Third judgment is that, and I'm not going to take time to walk you through this. Wish I had an hour today, but I don't. Let me say that what Jeremiah does as the judgment begins to come after 40 years of ministry, he talks to the king. He talks to the leader of the nation, whose name is Zedekiah. And Zedekiah actually calls for him. And he has three interviews with Jeremiah. So interesting, because in the first interview, Zedekiah says, Jeremiah, pray for us. I mean, that's almost humorous. Would you say a prayer for us because we're in trouble? We have no intention of changing our ways, no intention of turning to God, but you've got clout. Pray for us, he says. I'm sure you've had the experiences I have to have people say, oh, yes, say a prayer for me. And they may be people who have no intention of following God, but they'd like God's help. But what they don't seek is God's forgiveness. Now, the book of Jeremiah has a very stern warning against sin and sinners. But also the book reminds us of the fact that God is faithful. He is with his people. Scattered throughout the book, you find promises that encourage the true people, the people who have believed on God, promises regarding God's presence. But you know what happens? Eventually, Babylon comes and takes the inhabitants of the city of Jerusalem. They go through a terrible time, as we'll learn in subsequent messages. And what he does is the remnant goes to Babylon, and there God is with them. God is with you today, too, my friend. Let's submit to his grace, and let us receive all the mercy that he offers to sinners just like us.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, introducing When God Judges a Nation, another message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time, what America's judgment might look like. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD. We'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.